Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're on part 113 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. That's 113. And this is program number 215. Maybe confusing, but it's program, if you want to order it, it's program 215, and we can send you a tape copy of it. Audio tape or a CD. Please specify what you want at the end of the program. Sharon will tell you how to receive a copy of it. We have some letters and a message that is appropriate for today's world. Straight from the kingdom of God. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this service. Lord, anoint this service. You're the one that led me to the content of what it will be this evening. Anoint every listener's ears and their heart and soul, their spirit, to receive it. Open it up, Lord, as I know you do, for some that love the Word of God, which is totally different from things in this world today. I know you live, Lord, because I saw you with my eyes, and I have instructions from you to tell the world that you're coming back to earth again soon. There's so many of these different motion pictures today, Father, and different preachers that say, false preachers that say, has anyone ever seen God? There were tens of thousands of people that saw you when you were walking here on earth, Jesus. And there were over 500 people that saw you ascend into the kingdom of God. And there were 120 of them that were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that they went out into the highways and hedges and began by the unction of the Holy Spirit speaking your word. By you talking right from their mortal bodies. Truly, there is a Satan in this world, and he has a body, and there are human bodies. It's a corporate body of many bodies of people that are allowing Satan to live in them, and it is he that's talking through them, and he it is that's attempting to downgrade the Bible, and to he has his imps and demons. The evil spirit of Satan living in hundreds of millions of people, even billions, that are doing everything in their power to discredit the Word of God and to make it look as though it were a musty old book. But I've had so many supernatural experiences with you, Lord, that you've given me, including the time that you appeared before me in our bedroom. Susie's in my bedroom. In a Studio City in Hollywood, you appeared in an oval-shaped mirror, and I thought you were taking me there up to heaven at that time, and you said, not now. But I know you exist because you were telling me that I wasn't reading the Bible. I couldn't understand what you were saying. It was like a radio was going off and on, and I'd hear little bits and pieces of your words that were coming from you, and you were. I figured out later that you were instructing me that I'm not reading enough, and I wasn't. And I wasn't receiving your messages, just as the world today is not receiving your message. And you were showing me that you like me, but you were also so much, and you love me so much that you didn't want me to go to hell. And you also were showing me that I had a big work in this world to do. And anyone that will listen to you, Father, as I did, eventually get to listen to you. I just saw so many Christians, Lord, that were just living their own lives. And then I realized that how urgent it is that I listen to you, that I read your word and learn what it means and not receive any false doctrine. Because we're living in the last days and you're going to come to earth very soon. And the entire globe, this planet is going to be on fire. There's going to be a new heaven and earth. And all those people that were attempting, that were persuading people not to believe in you, But to believe in the one world order, disorder is what it is, they'll all be in hell and in the lake of fire. Lord, your word says that the whole world is deceived. And anoint, talk right through me tonight, Lord God, that the whole world will not be deceived, that many will come out from the world, believe on you, receive you into their hearts, souls, their spirits, so that they can be witnesses for you. Lord, appear to people as you did me, that they may too, when they're asked, has anyone seen God, they can truly say, yes, I saw him. He appeared right in front of me and gave me instructions. Lord, you said you'd pour out your spirit on all flesh in these last days. Young men would see visions and old men would dream dreams. You'd pour out your spirit upon your servants and handmaids. Lord, you're doing it through people, witnesses like myself that you've called into this world. You're invisible, but you're very visible in us. And you are visible on many times in the Bible and with me. You showed yourself. And you were not invisible when you were here in a man on this earth, when you, as Jesus, were walking this earth. Lord, we thank and praise you for all the testimony, the witness, and that you died for all humanity. We thank you, even though we were sinners, you died for us, and that you showed us that you were perfect. You were not totally developed. You had to learn, but you were a perfect baby, you were a perfect boy, you were a perfect young man, and you evolved, you kept growing and growing until you became completely the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then God called you into the ministry, so even though you weren't fully developed, you were always perfect. Perfect! Lord, we thank and praise you. Let the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and instruction convict people's souls today, this afternoon, this evening, whenever they're listening. Lord, we ask it that their souls may be saved and that the church will be strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now we have some letters here. Where's the first one from?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right, let's hear it.
Dear sir, how are you? I hope by the power of God you are fine.
I'm fine. You know, when they ask me, how are you, I say, I'm saved, and you can't do any better than that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Sir, when you send me your literature and I share it with my church members, friends, and mates, I told them not to throw it away, but they should pass it on to others.
Amen.
All those who were friends of alcohol stopped, and those who were not born again became born again. So, sir, I want you to send me more, including your T-shirt. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Amen. Francis from Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Send her, him or her, whatever it is that they need. Then what?
Next letter's from Storrs, Connecticut. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, Sharon, Michelle, and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, praise and glory be to God. Thank you for bringing God's salvation to me, and a special thanks to Lisa and Steve for sending me some of your literature, The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy, and newsletters. I have read a couple of newsletters, Biting the Bullet, Shall We Show the Same Mercy to the Pope as We Show to Terry Schiavo, Terry Schiavo Says Let Me Live, and Beware of Receiving the Blessings from the Vatican, Its Clergy, Especially Their Popes, and Broken to Pieces. That I finished yesterday. May I copy, print, and hand this literature out?
Anyone can reprint this literature. It's just not for sale, though. Don't ever sell this literature because the Lord gave me salvation freely. And I sent it out and I found out some people in Africa and India and maybe some other places are selling it for enormous amounts of money. And if any one of you out there know who these people are, please let me know so I don't send them more literature. Because they're in it for profit, and I'm not. Okay, then what?
I am a 51-year-old heavy equipment operator. My wife and I used to belong to the Storrs Road Church of Christ, so neither of us is a stranger to God or God's Word. Although my wife thinks this church is religion and called me on sending a tithe to them. She may have a valid point because we owe back taxes on our house and have just received a new property tax bill last week. and we do not have money to pay it by July 31, 2006. I used to listen to shortwave in the 1980s, but gave my receiver away. This past January, a friend gave me a realistic DX160 shortwave receiver. I was like a kid in a candy store, listening to as many foreign broadcasts as I could. World news was at best alarming. I mean, the world has gone berserk because they have forgotten God. Then I started listening to religious broadcasts, including yours. I thought you were crazy. Now I know it was me that was crazy and in the world. My first SWL logbook entry of your show is Tuesday, February 21st, 2006 on WHRI 9840 KHZ. Anyway, it was another month before I started to listen to your show more often, and now I listen to you on WWCR 5070 KHZ every weekday at 5 to 6 a.m. EDT, and that is about all I listen to now. I also made an inexpensive shortwave antenna that I saw in Monitoring Times, and I'm enclosing a copy of the article in case some of your shortwave, medium wave audience would like to improve your signal.
Right. If you people would like a copy of How to Improve Your Signal, this man seems to have a lot of experience and will fax it to you. He sent it to us. All right. And then what else?
Most mornings I receive you S9 to S9 plus, but now it is summer. Sometimes there are static crashes and the signal may waver to S5. Still, I hear you and your message. I have listened to you from New York on WVNJ 1160 AM on Friday, June 9th, 2006, with poor to no readability, and I suspect come fall and winter I will be able to listen to you in the morning before work on WWCR and at night on WVNJ 1160 AM before bed. Praise God for your messages to expose Satan and to bring God's life in us. I hope this encourages you, your staff, and all the brothers and sisters in Christ.
It really does encourage me to know that people are listening out there. Then what else?
I have noticed that there are more letters from Africa and other places around the world than there are from the United States, and that bothers me that Satan has such a hold on the people of the United States that they will not put God first. I encourage all people to write you, but especially from the United States. Step up to the plate for God, America. I hope that there are other people in the United States that listen and will write you. You have also said that you receive few tithes from shortwave listeners. Please find my check for $30 enclosed. I saved a new $10 and $20 bill, but what good will it do in a notebook? I also was frustrated that WHRI dropped your show in the evening, and I have yet to hear your broadcasts on Saturday and Sunday. I still arise at 4:30 a.m. EDT on weekends, but read God's Word, your literature or newsletters, and pray for an hour or more. During the week, I still pray with you that God save my soul through Jesus Christ and will continue to do so unless you say otherwise. Please send me two compact discs of program number 118 and 139 so that my wife and I can listen to your show together. My prayer is that she will understand that this is the real deal and not religion. I will end here, although I have many more questions, but I will pray through Jesus Christ to God, and I know He hears me and He answers me. Unlike you, Pastor Lamo, God has not spoken to me in visions, so I pray for the wisdom and patience to see the answers, although I know He could speak to me through visions anytime He wants. You may read all or...
That's absolutely right. Blessed is the person that believes by just reading, but has not seen. So you're more blessed than I am because I've seen so much, and I reckon it took that much for me to see in order for me to be as steadfast as I am in the Lord and for me to believe. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. I've seen Christ. So there's any of these antichrist people that say we're just looking at a musty old book. There isn't anything musty about it at all. All the prophecies that the Lord said would be happening just in the last days have happened, and so that what they call a musty old book happens to not be just a book. It is God. God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah, that's the first verse in the book of John. Then verse 14 says that, and he, the Word, God, came to the world as a man, all right? And so we know that God exists, and you've believed it without having seen, as I have. I've seen many visions, and I've had many dream visions, and God has been so good to me. I reckon it's because he knew that I would pass it on and that nothing could cause me to stumble. Nothing in this whole wide world could cause me to choose the weak and beggarly way of life and then wind up in hell. The government, the one world government, Satan is attempting to build a one world utopia, but the thing that people forget is that they're going to die. And if they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And the more that these weasels say peace and safety, the more the world becomes corrupt and in danger of sudden destruction. The Lord said, when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. And the Lord says that the whole world would be deceived in these last days. And the whole world system is, but those of us that believe in Christ, they believe in God through Christ, that God is Christ, Christ is God, he's the Word, that he was among us, and millions of people saw him. And I know many people that have seen the Lord Jesus Christ and have never really served him. So God has given those kind of people a chance. Many people have seen Jesus in these last days. Young men will see visions, and they have seen them, and old men will dream dreams. My visions came almost, I've been saved almost 42 years. But I saw that vision about 38 years ago of Jesus. But he first visited me in an office almost 42 years ago. And I can't deny him. There's no possible way they could. So people, and I don't understand. If you believe what I'm saying, like this man here thought I was crazy at first, but you just keep listening and we'll just see if you think I'm crazy. All right, and at the judgment bar of God, or at the great white throne, you'll know for sure that I wasn't crazy while you listen to me here on earth. If you don't read the Bible, this man is now praying an hour and a half a day, and he's studying, he's listening to gospel all the time. He knows it's the truth. And praise the Lord, he wants to see his wife saved. Okay, and so don't feel bad that you haven't seen visions or dreams, friend. I believe the Bible says without a doubt that blessed is he that has not seen and yet believed. Okay, let's go ahead and finish here.
You may read all or part of this letter on the air and use my full name because I want to step up to the plate for God. Your brother in Christ, Scott Luther Carey from Storrs, Connecticut.
Praise the Lord, Scott Luther Carey. Glory be to God for you. All right, then what?
The next letter is from Nigeria. I need 2,000 copies of The Messiah for distribution and 50 Bibles. Please endeavor to see that these are sent to us as we move out weekly to evangelize this gospel of the kingdom. A native chief king in a nearby village has testified that the Messiah book saved his life, and now he wants to see this book distributed in his village. Pastor Lucky from Delta State, Nigeria.
Okay, make sure they send all of them to him. Then what else? Anything else?
That's it.
That's it?
Yes.
All right, Sharon, let's step up to the plate here, as Mr. Carey says. And let's hear some of how to have God's life living in you.
Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God.
Okay, now everybody's heard about that. And all of humanity, when they fell, all of humanity fell. Keep going.
And because they did this, they cut themselves off. And they cut off.
They cut themselves off from the kingdom of God. And then what?
And they cut off all future generations of humanity from the Lord's kingdom.
The kingdom of God. Then what? So all future generations. And so everyone today, except those of us that have accepted the kingdom of heaven, are cut off. All of us have the kingdom of heaven that are saved, and that we remain saved. I believe that's why God gave me those visions, is because there are many times that I've been persecuted, and where if I didn't have those pillars of faith that God gave me by seeing Him and seeing what was going to happen in the future. I even saw that my wife was going to die. And I even saw that I would be shortly behind her. She'd been gone for 24 years, but 24 years is like a drop in the bucket. It seemed like she just died the other day. And that's how fast time is going to go for you. Because we're like vapors, like grass. Like a shadow, we appear just for a second, we're gone. And people think, you know, that they're in their teens and all of a sudden they're in their 20s. And then 30s, 40s, 50s, and here I am in my 70s. And I still feel young, and I'm very strong. But I'm 70, almost 72 now. And I was just, I remember when I was born. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You hear people talk about that all your life, and you just figure, oh, you know, an old timer, you know, he's talking about time goes by. And boy, it did. You just blink your eyes, and you're there. It's here. And there's going to be a time when you're going to be standing before the judgment bar of God, and you're going to say, it's here. It's now. And then you've got your long life. The life either in the pit of hell or in the kingdom of heaven. You're either going to heaven forever or you're going to be in hell forever in the lake of fire. Then go ahead.
The first significant person after Adam and Eve was Noah. He was a righteous man.
Right. The Bible states that he was the only righteous man on the face of this earth. Then what?
He did that which was right and followed the Lord God.
Well, there are a lot of people, but he was the only significant person. I mean, we had Enoch, but we didn't tell much about that, and except the four books of Enoch that he wrote, and there's been some germs from Satan put into it. Read that last line again.
He was a righteous man. He did that which was right and followed the Lord God.
And followed his instructions to build an ark. Then what?
He and his family survived the great flood by riding it out on the ark.
Yeah, by spending almost a year, or around a year, or maybe a little more on that ark. It stunk, it was confined, it didn't have any air conditioning or heating systems in it. They were just riding the waves. Okay, then what?
After this, Noah planted a vineyard and got drunk. Eventually, his sons went their own ways, and all of them forgot.
Well, actually, the ways of Satan. All those sons, all three of them went their own ways. The way of the devil. If you're not doing the Lord's will, you're doing Satan's will. Then what?
And all of them forgot God. Their descendants fell into every kind of sin there is in the world, idol worshiping and many other kinds of evil sin.
Well, wait a minute. I thought that only Ham was the sin. They all sinned, every one of them. Then what?
At that time, there was no kingdom established. The time had not come. The time was not right for the kingdom.
For the manifestation. There wasn't even a manifestation of a kingdom. There has to be, like when you go to buy a house, if there's a lot of times you'll see they have model houses for you to look at, and you choose one, and then they build it for you. But God had to have a model kingdom so that people could see what a kingdom is and how it's run. Okay? Then what?
After Noah, there were 10 generations. God spoke to Abram, a descendant of Noah's son, Shem. God revealed himself to Abraham and made a covenant with him, and he promised that he would make of him a great nation.
And this would be a nation comprised of all the different nations in the world, and it could only come about by people receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's the kingdom of God that would be the nation. Then what?
From Abraham came Isaac. Isaac was the son born to Abraham in his old age. At this time, God had no example of the kingdom.
No, there was no model kingdom set up yet. Then what?
No role model of the kingdom. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. God appeared to Jacob and said, quote, I will make of you a great nation. Your name will now be Israel, unquote. Israel had 12 sons who were the fathers of the 12 tribes of the nations of Israel.
The nation of Israel. The nations of Israel. Then what?
God was working toward his example, his model of a kingdom. So God was planning this model of a kingdom. Through Moses, he delivered the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, brought them into the desert, and told them, quote, You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will lead you into the land I promised your forefathers, unquote. In so many words, he was saying, I will be your king, and you will be my kingdom. After a period
of being my people would be my kingdom. Okay, then what?
After a period of time, the people of Israel became tired of a God they could not see and longed for a king they could see. God never desired them to have an earthly king. This was not the appropriate example or model that he was seeking.
No, if God wanted a kingdom that was able to take over all the kingdoms of this earth, then what?
Nevertheless, God gave in to their wishes. I believe he gave in to their wishes because he wanted them to see how weak a human king would be. So he told the prophet Samuel to anoint Saul as king of Israel, because the nation of Israel rejected God in favor of an earthly king. The time still wasn't appropriate for the kingdom of heaven to be unveiled. So then there were many, many other kings, a whole string of them. After a very excellent beginning, King Saul disobeyed God to the extent that God rejected him as king. Then God chose David, a man after his own heart, to be king instead of Saul. In the eyes of God, David was a good king and a mighty warrior who loved God. He also was a psalmist, a player of the harp, and a worshiper of God. He wrote many songs, but they were meaningful songs, not the kind of songs to make hit records or anything like that. They were eventually what was the bulk of the longest book in the entire Bible, the Psalms. David was the first to not formally but informally combine the functions of a priest and king. He worshipped and wrote worship songs, but he also administered government with the fear of the Lord, in other words, wisely. God enabled him to do that.
Yeah, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, so if you govern wisely, they're governing with the fear of God. We have a government today that is not wise. They are the exact opposite of the kingdom of God. Then what?
This example or model of God's kingdom was beginning to formulate. Then David angered God by committing the horrible sin of adultery with Bathsheba, and making matters worse, he compounded it by trying to cover it up. Then he arranged to have her husband Uriah killed. He knew for sure he would be killed. From then until the end of his life, trouble followed David. Every step he ever took, there was trouble. After the death of Solomon, which was David's son and was his successor to the kingdom they had built, it was splintered into 10 tribes that rebelled against the house of David. The time was not right for the kingdom of heaven to be revealed or unveiled. The time was not right for the kingdom of heaven to be revealed. Then, after a long succession of kings, most of whom also rejected God and served idols, first the northern kingdom of Israel, and then the southern kingdom of Judah fell to outside conquerors. The northern kingdom was assimilated into the Assyrian Empire and ceased to exist. The kingdom of Judah was conquered by the Babylonians, and the very best of the people were carried into exile for 70 years.
Yeah, they were carried into exile for 70 years because they did not honor God. He said that the earth had to rest on the seventh year, and they continued to disobey him for 70 years, so he sent them into exile for 70 years, and Jesus used that as a model. When, as they say, God forgave them in 70 years, so how many times are you supposed to forgive your brother and sister? 70 times 7. Or 70 times how many?
Seven.
Right. Okay, then what?
Daniel was one of them and an official in the Babylonian government.
Yes, he was an official, a God's man of the hour, was an official in the government of Babylon. Then what?
He received a powerful vision from God, which showed him that the kingdom was not dead and forgotten.
That God's kingdom was not forgotten. He tells of a kingdom that would rise up in the last days, the kingdom of heaven. Then what?
God was still moving forward. His example of a kingdom, or his model, preparing for the, quote, fullness of time, unquote, when his son would come into the world and reveal the kingdom of heaven. Daniel spoke of a, quote, son of man, unquote, who would be great and do great things. Several hundred years later, Jesus would refer to himself as the Son of Man, this seemingly favorite self-designation. The Babylonians fell to the Persians.
See, Babylon fell to the Persians. And Persia is Iraq, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, then go ahead.
The Persians allowed the Jews to return to their homeland.
Okay, and Satan never forgot the people in Iraq, the ancestors of Iraq, or the people, the forefathers of Iraq, for letting the Jews go back to Israel and rebuild. And that's why today Satan is bringing false accusations against Iraq, because they let the Jews go. And the one world government today hates the Jews and anyone that favors the Jews. That's really ironic, isn't it, that because the Persians let the Jews go after they defeated Babylon, and they allowed them to go back and build the rebuild Israel, the Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, the walls, and the temple. And you think Satan loves Iraq for that? Iraq is actually the Persian Empire. They favored the Jews. God says, I'll bless them that bless the Jew and curse those that curse the Jews. Well, of course, this isn't God cursing Iraq. It's the devil himself, this devilish Roman Empire. Okay, that is made up these false charges on them. They didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. That man that was in charge here said, United States is the only ones that have the weapons of mass destruction. But this is the way the Roman Empire always has worked down through the ages. Okay, then go on.
This is why the Persians or the people in Iraq are being persecuted so much by Satan today. We being an arm of the devil here in the United States.
Well, the United States is an arm, the power of Satan, because the Vatican sends out United States troops to many different countries to take them over. And this was the policy of old Rome. They would allow the inhabitants of a place that they conquered to stay there, but they would put one of their governors in the area to rule it. And by and by, everyone in the government that they would take over, all the people would become Romans, because we have Roman canon law now here. They've taken away the U.S. Constitution. Not in word, they don't admit it, but if you go into the courtroom and try to use the U.S. Constitution, the judge will tell you to shut up, because he is a part of the Roman Empire. And they tell you, don't you say the word God in here, because Caesar is God. Don't you say God, because the Pope is God. This is the way it was back then, and now that this dead Roman Empire has risen up again and taken over, it's now become a worldwide power that will persecute anyone that favored the Jews or anyone that favors true Christianity. Okay, then go ahead.
We being an arm of the devil here in the United States.
I'm not including me. Okay, I'm the an arm or a body or a vessel of God. Showing you what this situation is today. And the Bible states that this is a empire that is made of clay and iron. In other words, the toes. It's the last kingdom, the last part of the body. You start from the head and you go down to the toes. And the toes are the part that is the last. These toes, Daniel stated in the vision he saw, were made out of clay and iron, and they easily smashed. That means that the whole world kingdom today is divided. It looks big and powerful, but there is a force in this world bigger than it that does not allow it to have full sway over the people of the world. Then what?
The United States went into the Persians' homeland and murdered thousands.
Maybe millions. I mean, I've heard the figure of millions of people. They don't really allow Persians. I mean, they have the fear of of this satanic world government in them, and they won't say anything that is the truth. But it slipped by on world radio that there were millions of people that Mr. Bush, supposed to be a, quote, Christian, unquote, killed over there for absolutely no reason other than that Persia let the Jews, the Iraqis, let the Jews go to the homeland, their homeland, and rebuild their these places that were destroyed by the king of Babylon. Then go ahead.
The Persians were wonderful who allowed the Jews to return to their homeland.
Right. Praise the Lord for those people. Okay, then what? And like this man stated in this letter today, he says, there's so few people here in the United States that believe in God. There are more people in Africa that believe in God. Isn't that something? It's because the leaders in this country are governors of Rome. And everyone in this country, the masses of them, have become Romans. Cruel, evil, haters of God. Lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Seducing spirits have taken over. And they've gone completely insane. Mad. And the media can tell them any lie and they'll believe it and they'll start waving American flags like we're right just because anyone that is right, they call devils, cult. This is their tricks that they use. This is their propaganda that they use on national television and national radio. And the whole world is drunken with drugs. The American people in the administration, the governors of Rome, brought these drugs into this country. And a couple of boys saw them over in Mena, Arkansas, unloading drugs and loading up weapons. And they killed them. There were just a couple of boys sitting on a railroad track. And Clinton's administration said that he was the one that ordered their deaths. I have the tapes on that in case you'd ever like a copy of it. It was his own number one men that accused him of all these. And they stated that he was the ones, he made them get procure women for him to have sexual experiences with. This is the evil Roman type government. he still laughs on TV, and Bush is very sure. He says, we'll get him, don't worry about it, because he's so sold on the powers of Rome that he doesn't believe that there's any, he sees all this protection that he's given. Rome will not spare any expense to protect him because he is the governor here in the United States. Rome's governor here. He's built monuments unto Rome in Washington, D.C. Mr. Bush is, if he's a Christian, then so is the devil. And I can assure you that the devil is no Christian. I can also assure you that Mr. Bush is no Christian. Not a governor of Rome. He kills millions of people that are living in peace. Instead of bringing the gospel to them, he brings bombs. Okay, they believe, the Roman government believes that we're going to have to kill a few hundred million people, but what is that in comparison to us having peace on earth? They liken the earth to a boat, and we're all in the same boat, and there's like a few troublemakers on the boat that are telling people that they're going to hell, that they're sinners, and they're going to spend eternity in hell, and they just make everybody on the boat uncomfortable, so throw them overboard. That's in a nutshell with the way they believe. All right? So, and they believe that they're going to be able to solve all the problems. They said if we all get an oar and we all work together, we can row the boat away from the Niagara Falls and just row back up the river against the tide or against the stream, and we can work out our own salvation. But what after you die, you know, when the Lord is not living in you, you're going to spend eternity in hell, and nobody's going to be rowing with you in hell because there's no escape door, there's no exit. You're in hell and the lake of fire forever. And so, you know, you're feeling smug and everything, but you got to die. And when you do, it doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. You're going to wind up right in front of God. And then what are you going to do when he slings your Mickey body into the slimy, hot fires of hell and then into the lake of fire? Okay, go ahead.
The Persians were wonderful who allowed the Jews to return to their homeland and rebuild their temple in the city of Jerusalem.
And now in this late date, we're persecuting this country, and Rome, under the command of Rome, is persecuting them for what they did many years ago. Okay, then what?
The Persians, after doing that, in other words, the Iraqi people, fell to the Greeks. The Greeks had a tradition. They're known as being philosophers.
Yeah, you see this picture of Aristotle, you know, thinking, stinking. Okay, then what?
They influenced the entire Mediterranean world into their way of thinking. After a while, the Greek Empire fell to the Romans with their genius for military campaigns, law and government administration, Antichrist. At last, the time for which the Lord God had been moving forward to preparing drew near.
Yeah, Satan knew that there was going to be a kingdom of God, so he copied the format of it and set up this kingdom. Now, we as Christians are supposed to go into all the nations and take rule and have governors there. The people of Rome knew this because Satan lives in human bodies just like God does. There's a motion picture that they have. They says, to prove that God doesn't exist, they says, okay, we're going to let Jesus witness for himself here in court. Now, Jesus, Son of God, come forward and witness. And these poor Christians were sitting there, and Jesus never showed up because Jesus, if they would have been smart, Jesus lives in every one of us that are born again of the Spirit. And they said, Satan, now you come forward. And so Satan, a man, came forward. And the devil lives in him by the Spirit. And so it was so crazy that they would allow him to appear as Satan in the flesh, when one of them could have said, okay, call God forward. If they call God forward, I'd go up there and say, God is living in me. Okay, it's just like Satan is living in you, sir. And so now you can start cross-examining me about the Bible. Because there's only one corporate body of Christ, and that's millions of people. And there's one corporate body of Satan, which are billions of people. But still, God is here on earth right now in human beings. I've seen Jesus. He looks just like a human being. He appeared, there was like a fuzzy stick, if you like a luminous stick that came into the room. It was like one of these 4-foot fluorescent lights, but it was shimmering. It was like ghost-like. And then it went and it formed into an oval-shaped mirror, and Jesus was sitting right in it. And I thought he was going to take me. I said, Lord, and he said, not now. And he started talking like it was a broken radio, as I mentioned at the beginning of this service. And so I've seen Jesus, and I could see that he liked me, he loved me, and he was concerned about me and wanted me to get on the right path. He was letting me know that he is a great work for me to teach the people of this world the Bible. And so I've had the fear of God put in me, because he's also before that showed me heaven and hell on several occasions. And so I know heaven is there, and I know hell is there, and there isn't any bunch of devils on the face of this earth. They think they have the power, and you can see Bush and all these people looking so smug like they've really got it made. But I want to tell you, Mr. Bush, in all love, you're going to die. And you're going to stand before God, and that Pope isn't going to be there, or the Roman government is going to fade away. Read the book of Daniel. It's going to be smashed to powder. And the only kingdom that's going to ever last is the kingdom of God. So let's continue here.
The Roman Empire was the first in history with a structure and administration that resembled the kingdom of God. Because everything that God has, Satan, like the satanic Roman Empire, has an imitation of it.
It's a counterfeit. That is a counterfeit kingdom, a utopia that they're trying to build here on earth, but they forget they've got to die. In the real kingdom of heaven, you don't die. Amen?
Amen.
You live forever. So this is a fake, a fraud, a temporary thing. Everything in this world is temporal, okay? So what profit is it if you gain the whole world, you know you're going to die, and then you lose your soul? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Finally, God had his model. Unlike the emperors who preceded it, when Rome invaded and conquered a country, it set up its own administration.
Yeah, every time Rome, even to this day, they go into a country, they bomb the tar out of it, they kill the leader of Romania, and then they put their governor, their administration in there, so that all the people of Romania start believing in the Roman government, because they say that people are just like sheep. They're animals. They'll believe anybody that shows power. And they don't read the Bible to see that all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. Even though he allows them to think they've got power, he allows them to deceive themselves. He says he'll send them strong delusions, Jesus said, but so that they might believe a lie, that they really are got something going here. And that's what they believe. And all these people that are sinning and are going to hell, they believe, they've been sent strong delusions that everything is okay. All right, then what?
When Rome invaded and conquered a country, it set up its own administration just as they're doing today. With its own governor appointed by the emperor, they left the...
By the pope. The emperor is now a pope. He's like the Caesar. Then what else?
They left the conquered people in the land instead of taking them away.
Yeah, they didn't go and kill everybody. They may have killed half of them before they took over the land. And those that were there, they said, okay, if we won't kill you if you'll live under our administration. Now, this is the Roman Empire. We're the most mighty thing in the world. And so if you follow our governor in here, we won't be hurt. And so they all fall in line like a bunch of sheep, just like they said they are. Okay, then what?
So Rome,
and even Jesus said, you're like sheep. A lamb is one of the most stupid animals. It is the most stupid animal on earth, because they don't even get scared when they're dying. All right, then what?
So
he said, my sheep follow me, though. But you sheep are following the Roman Empire, which is going to fade, going to be smashed to powder. Then what?
So Rome always appointed somebody as governors to be the masters or representatives of Rome with the authority of the emperor himself.
Right, so the actual governor here in the United States is Bush and his administration. Those are Rome's governors here. Then what? So just like back before, just like in Israel, the Caesar, he was a Roman, and Pontius Pilate, they were the governors there. Then what?
The job of a Roman governor was to govern his province in such a way as to make it a reflection of Rome. So Rome became the greatest empire in all history.
Actually, kingdom. Then what?
Because it had a system of government that worked better than any that had gone before it. It was.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
It was a simple system, really. The way it is the same thing they are doing today. They take over a territory, they leave the people in the territory, but appoint a governor and establish an administration that will turn them into Romans. It was an Antichrist kingdom, a kingdom that is set up in a similar way, but a way that is a counterfeit to that of God's.
Of God's kingdom in heaven. And when we come preaching the gospel, we come preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent of your sins. Well, how could you be saying that when there's the mighty Roman kingdom and we see all these airplanes and navy ships and warheads and rockets and A-bombs and hexagon bombs and all these different power. This is not power. Because if it blows a Christian up, they made their day. They're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. They're going to live forever. No one can touch them or hurt them there. They live forever in paradise. So it's what they have is nothing because they have not eternal, peaceful life in paradise. Then what?
Everything was now in place. The Roman Empire provided, to them it was, the perfect model for the message of the kingdom of God because it contained the concepts of the kingdom that would make the message of Jesus easily understood.
Now, it's very easy for you to understand what a kingdom is when you see the way that the Roman Empire set up their kingdom. You already see them going into different areas, bombing them, and then putting in United Nations appoints a one-world governor to be in that place so that it becomes an extension of Rome. And this is how they do it. They're taking over the government. Now, the people that are presidents and kings, they see their game plan. They know the game plan just like I know it today, just as I can explain it to you. But if you become, you begin believing that this is the powerful kingdom, Daniel saw this great and mighty vision that showed that there's going to be a rock of ages come down and smash this kingdom, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It goes on forever and ever, and the Roman Empire is going to burn. And it's Satan knows that his kingdom, that his time is short, and that's why he's gone completely mad. He's crazy, gone crazy on this earth, and God is soon, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to come back to earth again. Soon in the eastern skies you'll see the cross, the sign of the Son of Man, and he's going to come back. Now read the rest.
God's kingdom, even though it was not God's kingdom, that was the model.
That was the model of what the real kingdom is going to be. And so we, as the subjects of the kingdom, or citizens of the kingdom, are to do what you see Rome doing. We're not going to bomb them. We're not going to kill them. We're not going to use weapons of mass destruction. But we're using the most powerful weapon of all, which is the sword, the word of God, the double-edged sword. Those that don't believe it will be sent strong delusions to believe that this kingdom is going to go on forever, this Roman kingdom, and it won't. It failed before, and it's going to fail again. God predicts it, and it's going to happen soon. Okay, the model was been cast. The time was at hand. It was in place. It was ripe, the perfect time for God to reveal his son. So now finish it off.
The time had come for God to send his son. The time had come for the kingdom of heaven to be revealed. Even though the governing structure of it was like unto the structure of the kingdom of heaven, it was the exact opposite of the kingdom of heaven.
Right, the exact opposite of the kingdom of heaven, although it looks like it. Just like today, Satan appears to people as an angel of light. But that's why you need to read the Bible in order to be able to differentiate between God and Satan. Satan is an imitator. We're pulling people out of that kingdom to be members, good citizens in good standing in the kingdom of heaven. And you can do that right now by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can enter the kingdom of heaven right now by saying this prayer. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that you, God, you Spirit, the Spirit that was in Jesus, rose himself up by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word said so. Your word, which is God, the Almighty God, the unfailing God, says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, because you're everywhere, and you see all the things that this filthy empire, this Roman Empire, is doing. I know you've heard me. And I know that you see what they're doing. And I know you've answered me. And I know you see that I'm sincere with you. And therefore I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, those of you that have said that prayer and meant it, raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord for your salvation. And contact me. Let me know so we can read your testimony on the air. Now, Sharon, tell everyone how they can receive this program if they'd like a copy of it. It's program number 215, and they can have it on audio tape or a CD. It's free of charge, and postage and handling is also included. Completely free of charge. Then what?
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have another message from the Lord tomorrow. It'll be part 114 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. So, until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying to you, I'm so happy you received the Lord, and I'm so sad if you didn't. We're not looking to do any wrong to anybody. All we're doing in love is to tell you the truth, and in hopes that you receive Christ before it's too late. Everyone knows that you could, any one of us could leave the earth today and stand before the Lord. So be careful. Be very careful to receive the Lord and keep his commandments from here on out. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.